this'll be just one more story to tell.
I'm Joe Tate, and I have a podcast that takes a look back at my sports broadcast career. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
I'm Bruce Van Dyke. It's time for another Over the Timeline with Joe Tate, brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville. Joe, here's a theme for you. Last time I played the theme to Wyatt Earp. This one's a little more sporty for you this morning. This is back in your disco days, I think it was like that, if you remember. This is from the CBS Sports, the NCAA. How many games or how many years did you do games for CBS?
Just one.
Just one?
The 81-82 season. The games went well, but they discovered that the small market stations or CBS affiliates, they took the games, took them all and enjoyed them and needed them for programming on Sundays, but that major stations had other things they were doing, NBA and other colleges, so we weren't clearing into a lot of the major stations, but we sure ate up all the little stations, and CBS figured it's not worth the expense, not that I was getting rich on this, but they figured, well, if we can't get the major stations to take it, then we won't do it. And so it lasted one season. It was an enjoyable season, but just the one.
All right, well, here's how it started.
Carolina. Both teams have left the floor. They'll be back momentarily, and this thing will be tipping off. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the NCAA CBS Radio Network.
And this is AM 930, 100.3 FM, WEOL, Elyria, Lorraine. I'm like a Pavlov's dog. When they call for a station ID, I know how to jump on this, Joe.
Well done, Bruce. Well done.
Joe, how many national anthems have you heard over your lifetime with this?
Quite a few. And I don't ever recall seeing a single knee in the thousands that I heard.
When you're taking off your cap and honoring the American flag. And, of course, when you go with national anthems, they either have recorded or there's sometimes people singing. There's all sorts of ones that come for it.
You're liable to hear it from a cappella to choirs to groups, barbershop. Yeah.
Now, Joe, you're in the military. So at that time, do you use that time to straighten out your papers and your stats, or are you kind of reflecting at that moment?
The reflection, what, during the national anthem?
The national anthem, yes.
I was on those CBS broadcasts. I was just making sure that all the ducks were in a row and that I had all of the commercial stuff available, because the people you talk to in New York City seem to be much more interested in the commercial content than the basketball.
All right, here's a little bit of that. This is coming to you from February of 1983. It was the Sunday game, February 13th of 1983. And here's the setup for that.
From Carmichael Auditorium on the campus of the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, it's 1983 NCAA basketball on NCAA CBS Radio Network and around the world through Armed Forces Radio. Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Tate along with Bill Newman. Together, we'll be bringing you all of the action and excitement of today's game as the Wildcats of Villanova meet the Tar Heels of North Carolina. Bill Newman, the Wildcats of Villanova had more than your normal problems in getting down here for this basketball game.
So I was looking up Bill Newman. Now, you know, I do a little research of this. I try to get some details.
You do a lot of research.
Some of these things, the internet allows you to do that. So I tried to find Bill Newman, and I couldn't find him. I thought Bill Newman's CBS Sports broadcasting, something to that effect, and I came up empty.
Well, Bill Newman was an engineer for the radio station in Durham, I think, that we got him. He brought the equipment over, set it up. The whole thing happened because of a gigantic snowstorm that hit all over the Midwest, and including North Carolina, which meant that Raleigh Massimino and his Villanova Wildcats had to make it into town by bus. And it was the whole entourage from CBS in New York, which was supposed to come down and oversee.
So you're telling me this is like backup plan B or C?
Newman was the engineer. He had equipment. And that's, you know, I can relate to that, as you can, and Rob Polinsky and everybody who works here at WEOL. You go, you find the equipment, you do the game. You don't need three producers, a stats person, and somebody to hold the little card in front of you when you're supposed to, you know. And so Newman was an engineer. And I asked him, I said, have you ever been on the air? Because I figured, well, I could use him, too. And he said that he did some high school basketball color. And I said, you're about to be on CBS radio.
Oh, wow. Now, from what I've heard, from the comments of things, seemed to do a suitable job for
them. He was fine. So yeah, he did not overstate the situation.
Here's the scene setter for this you mentioned about the weather.
The Wildcats of Villanova in the dark blue uniforms with the white numbers and letters and white trim, and the North Carolina Tar Heels, white uniforms with the Carolina blue numbers, letters, and trim. We have an interesting cross-section of officials today. Paul Houseman of the ACC, Jim Sylvester of the ECAC, and Jerry Muncy of the Big Ten. The Tar Heels break away from Coach Dean Smith. The Wildcats are already on the floor, and the first half is about to begin. Villanova, 16-4. They've got a 5-4 road record, while the North Carolina Tar Heels are 21-3 overall. They are 6-0 here in Carmichael, 12-0 in reasonably friendly confines. And more impressive, they've taken 9-12 away from Carolina.
There's the beginning of the game, Villanova and North Carolina. I guess North Carolina was on an 18-game winning streak. So they were the favorite in this.
They were heavily favored to win the game.
Now, when you're doing this on Valentine's Day, here you got Valentine's Day, or the day before Valentine's Day, February, a big snowstorm as well. What was your itinerary? Did you just come in for this game from Northeast Ohio? Where were you staying?
I drove in from Richfield, Ohio. And because you couldn't get there by air. Air travel was gone because of the storm. So Raleigh Massimino bussed in with his team, and I drove in from Richfield, and I made it. I started, knowing that the snowstorm was coming, I started 2 days early. So I was down there with extra time. And that's how I rounded up Mr. Newman and set the stage for what turned out to be a two-man broadcast, much to the shock and later delight of CBS Radio.
Well, here's a little call of the game.
Well, in the battle for the rebound, Warren Martin and Pinckney were in strong body to body. And when they came down, Pinckney got his foot on the floor first and started to move. And Warren came down unintentionally, obviously, but planted his big brogan on top of that Pinckney. And that is quite possibly a sprain.
If he can't come back, that's going to be a tremendous loss for Villanova, because he is truly a great player in there and been having an excellent ball game already in double figures on the rebounding.
Well, and Harold Presley is the man called upon to take his place. Also back in there now is Mulquin, Mike Mulquin, in the game, 2 points and a foul. Checking in now is Brad Daugherty, and he replaces Warren Martin. Granger will inbound in front of the North Carolina bench. 12:48 to play in the ball game. Ball comes in, bounced it right off Doherty's backside, back to Granger, give to Mulquin, drives, didn't get it. Presley tipped it in, but a foul came ahead of the tap. Well, there was an interesting play.
I've never seen that before. He threw it off. Doherty's back was to the Granger throwing it in. He bounced it off his back to himself and took off. I wonder if he would have gotten an assist to himself if he'd have made that. A creative play on the part of Stuart Granger, to say the least.
Brad Doherty's backside usually is a defensive tool for him. On that one, it became more of an offensive one, I suppose.
That's true. And, you know, later Doherty and I ended up together. I was back with the Cavaliers, and he, of course, came to the Cavaliers out of college. And he didn't like to reminisce about this game because it was a real blow to the North Carolina mystique that these bunch of guys out of Philly who had to bus in to do it beat them. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every moment of it.
Well, as with any game, if you have a preconceived idea of what the game is going to be like and it follows that pattern, it may not be as enjoyable. But when you got this and you got a team in that shows up on, the hotel's at 12:30 in the morning on Sunday. So,
right.
You know, not a lot of time to think, you know, just try to get there is the whole key to that sort of thing. Michael Jordan on this team as well. Brad Doherty, also Sam Perkins as well. So they had some future NBA stars on that.
And Villanova had Presley and several others whose names I heard mentioned that when I Pinckney.
So who's Brogan? What was that? A big Brogan? Is that a.
At your foot.
Is that one of these?
That's some of that Illinois talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wondered about that. Here's a little bit more. This has a feature with Michael Jordan in it.
Granger into Presley, back to Granger, double teamed by Doherty and Braddock. And a whistle and a walking call. Stuart Granger got caught in the double team and coughed it up on the traveling violation.
That North Carolina defense is pressure the whole game, and eventually they'll wear you down and get the turnovers at the crucial moments.
Braddock quickly to the forecourt of the right wing. Over to Matt Doherty from out front. He fires. Nope. Rebound Michael Jordan. Puts it back up. Good. Michael Jordan with 10, and North Carolina leads for the first time. 31-30. Granger bounced down the left side to Pinckney. Pinckney covered by Brad Doherty. Back out to Presley. Presley gives the ball to Gary McLean. Gary McLean dribbling out front against Braddock. McLean goes to the left wing to the left side. Bounced down the left side to Stuart Granger. Back out to McLean. On the right to Presley. Presley against Jordan. Ball poked away. Presley gets it back. Gives to Pannone. Left to the lane. Pannone shoots. Rim it in. Pannone with 10. 32-31 Villanova.
We're listening to the February 13th, 1983 broadcast on NCAA CBS Sports. Joe Tate with the call on that. We're going to have more coming up right after this from Hometown Dental.
Hi, I'm Joe Tate, here to tell you about Hometown Dental in Seville. They're my dentist, and they want to be your dentist for life. Hometown Dental offers same-day and evening hours to fit your schedule. And in emergencies like a broken tooth, they can always fit you in. All PPO insurance is accepted, and new patients are welcome. Call Hometown Dental on Center Street in Seville, or online, visit hometowndentalseville.com. You're never fully dressed until you wear a smile.
Over the Timeline with Joe Tate, I'm Bruce Van Dyke. It's brought to you by Hometown Dental. We're reminiscing about the February 13th, 1983 game on CBS NCAA Sports. How did you get involved with that? Did you just, like, answer an ad? Did people know your reputation? Were you just, you know, calling up people you knew? Do you have an agent that was doing this?
You know what? I was sitting here. It must be a little ESP going there between the two of us, because I was sitting here thinking, how the heck did I get this CBS gig in the first place? I had been doing the New Jersey Nets in 81-82, and then I shifted over to the Bulls in 82-83. But I don't remember. I really do not remember the circumstances, because I don't remember applying for the job or auditioning for the job.
Had you done other network-related broadcasts?
Just the Nets and the Bulls and
okay.
Their networks, but this was my first and, for that matter, only national affiliation. I was with CBS.
And you're working with a guy who's not the real engineer, and you just have so, you know, sometimes you think when you get to a certain level, there's a lot of, you know, prestige and cash behind a lot of this, but sometimes it's the same thing. It just has a different color to it, label to it.
Mr. Newman certainly had that North Carolina twang about him, and I've often wondered whatever happened to him, because he did a great job for me that day, and without him, I probably would have been in deep doo-doo.
So here's a little bit more of the call from that game in 1983.
7:23 to go, and North Carolina is down by 8.
Sam Perkins will inbound to the backcourt for the Tar Heels. into Braddock. Braddock letting the ball bounce. Now he brings it ahead against Gary McLean into the forecourt. Lob over to Jordan. Jordan down the right side to Perkins. Perkins sideline right against Harold Presley. Dribbling with the left hand. Lobs cross court to Braddock. Braddock on the left wing against Granger. Back over to Jordan as the Villanova Wildcats are in their zone. Doherty over to Braddock. Long distance shot. No rebound. Brad Doherty, but he had the hands of Mike Mulquin right in his back.
Still, it looked like he should have made it. He just had a little tap there and didn't quite hit it hard enough, so he's going to go to the free throw line and have to earn these 2 points.
Brad Doherty, a freshman from Black Mountain, North Carolina, at 6'11", has not as yet scored in this ball game. He came in with an average of 8 a game and 5 rebounds. And now there is the signal that it was to be a 1-1.
So they get the ball out of bounds. They're saying that it was a uncontrolled tap as he was tipping it into the basket and not a shot. So they get it out of bounds instead of the 2 shots. And Dean Smith is not pleased with that and has called referee Paul Hausman of the ACC over to get an explanation on it.
I know this is over the time of like Joe Tate, but I'm more interested in this Bill Newman guy. He's pretty acute to see what's going on. I mean, intuitive what's happening going on there.
He did a good job. He really did. And he did the engineering very well as well.
Didn't have to elbow him too much, did you?
No, not at all. I've done elbows in the past with other people. I mean, Jim Jones still has bruises from the times I've worked with him. But, he did a nice job.
Wow. You guys could have carried on for other ones. You could have teamed up with him.
Well, after that, I teamed up with Ed Engels of CBS Radio in New York, and he was just a delight to work with. He was the pro's pro, and he and I did the rest of the season together and saw some great games along the way. And then, come tournament time, I ended up doing play-by-play at Syracuse for the NCAA Eastern Regionals. My color announcer was Kurt Gowdy, believe it or not.
Wow.
Kurt Gowdy was the color guy, and I did the play-by-play. And that could have been a problem, but Gowdy, being the consummate pro that he was, accepted that's the way CBS decided they wanted to do it, and he went along with it very well. In fact, he introduced me to a lot of people that I'd never met at the NCAA level, and we went out and had dinner afterward, and so, yeah, that was a real treat to work with Kurt.
When you move from doing a team for the Cavaliers or going for New Jersey or something, that's the home team. That's the team that you're sort of calling the game through. How do you balance it out when you get to sort of an area where it's like people are listening sort of from both sides in the sense and like the call to be down the middle?
Yeah, well, it was at that point you shift into this is a great game and I want to make it sound as good as I can, and I really don't care who wins or loses. Now, in this case, I kind of was leaning toward Villanova because Raleigh Massimino was nice enough to come over and give us 20 minutes of pregame chatter, and Dean Smith said he was too busy. So I figured, all right, then I'll root for Rolly, but by the same token, I think having listened to this game in the past, I think I was able to walk both sides of the street. It was just a great game.
Well, when you get it, and you always talked in the past, you're just calling what you're seeing, you're just describing it
right
for the listener. So if it's an exciting play, it's an exciting play, whatever color, you know, no matter what the jerseys are that are involved.
That is right.
Here's more of this, and where you also share one of your high school stories in the middle of a NCAA broadcast.
51-45, he hits the head end of the 1-1. That was the fourth foul on Sam Perkins. McLean ready, aims, fires, got a pair. 5 points for Dwayne McLean, 52-45. Braddock quickly into the lane for a 12-footer, in and out on the rim, falls in! Braddock with 10, North Carolina takes time. 53 seconds to play of the ball game, and Bill Newman, it's still a 5-point spread.
The Tar Heels are hanging in there. The most famous game in these parts that North Carolina came back to win was 1974 against Duke when they trailed by 8 with 17 seconds left. So they always believe they can come back. But I think it's going to be a little bit more than they can ask this time. Down 5, 53 to go. They're going to need a couple of steals, a couple of possible misses at the free throw line by Villanova, but it's still in the realm of possibility, and they've battled to stay in this ball game all day. Villanova has played a tremendous ball game, I think. What they wanted to do was control tempo, and they've done a great job of that. They've got the shots they wanted. That zone has been very effective against the Tar Heels, putting enough pressure on the outside shot and closing down the inside, especially here in the second half. Sam Perkins had 11 in the first half, only 2 in the second half. So Villanova deserves all the credit. They played a tremendous ball game and have a chance to come up with a nice upset win here today, and I bet you they're glad they were able to get here.
Well, I remember years ago broadcasting high school basketball down in southeastern Ohio. Charlie Gill was coaching a little team called Ames Burn. They were in one of those once-in-a-lifetime seasons. He found himself one night down to another team by 6 points with 14 seconds to go, called a timeout, and he said, "We got them right where we want them." And as it turned out, they did. 53 seconds to go in the ball game. Villanova's ball, Gary McClain got it right in to Perkins, and Perkins so surprised he fumbled the ball.
Joe, do you remember the reference within the reference of the game we're talking about?
I remember that game vividly. In fact, I was chatting with Tim Alcorn, and I related that same story to him about some of the great high school broadcasts that I've been involved in. And that was certainly up at the top of the page when Charlie Gill called his guys together. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime. I don't think Ames Burn has ever been anywhere in basketball since that time. In fact, may not even exist anymore. But Charlie Gill says, "Okay, we're down by 6. We got 13 seconds to go. We got them right where we want them." And by golly, they went out, stole the ball 3 times, scored, and Ames Burn won the game. It was amazing.
Well, here's the conclusion of this game from 1983 on the Sunday NCAA CBS broadcast, North Carolina and Villanova.
Perkins. He looks, he lobs for Dwayne McClain, who had it, lost it, taken back by Steve Hale, ahead to Jordan, 8 seconds, Jordan down to the stripe, fires, rim, no, rebound, Panone brings it down, he is fouled, 3 seconds left, and that one is going to wrap it up for Villanova.
Dean Smith goes over and shakes Raleigh Massimino's hand. We have a difference on the clocks. On the end, we have no time, and on the midcourt clock, we have 3 seconds, so apparently, we do still have 3 seconds to go in this game, but it would have been amazing if we'd gone down to the wire with the difference on the clocks to see what they would have called.
And they did not call a foul after all. They said Panone traveled with the ball. It's North Carolina, the alley-oop into Perkins. He pops it in. That takes care of the final 3 seconds. And the final score is Villanova 56. And North Carolina, 53, and now let's pause for these messages.
So when you're done with this game, what do you pack up your bag, just get in your car, fill up your tank, and
headed for home? Yep. Yep. You know, did you notice that Michael Jordan missed a shot at the end of that game?
I was going to say, it does happen occasionally like that, but there's a certain one shot that he did not miss, so you later had a...
Yes.
A call of that as well. If only Bill Newman was at your side at that time, maybe things would have been different years later as well. But we've been reminiscing with Joe Tate, another Over the Timeline, brought to you by Hometown Dental in Seville.